John chapter 5, really a good message for you tonight that I think is going to bless you. We're going to get moving on this particular example. This is number 38 in the Healing Example series. So we have been covering a lot of different healings in the New Testament, in the ministry of Jesus, in the four Gospels. And so I want to encourage you to, if you haven't already, you can go to the website and pick these up and get them on our website and or on YouTube and go back and hear the messages. I think the Spirit of God wants the church to be well-versed in the subject and on the subject of healing. So John chapter 5, the title of the message tonight is God's Flowing Kindness, God's Flowing Kindness, and I'll show you why we, that is the Lord and I, wrote that down. The Lord told me how to title this, and he always does, but I had to write it, so I get that credit for putting the ink on the page, but God gets the glory, amen. But his kindness flowing is, or flowing kindness, God's flowing kindness is right here in this story. John chapter 5, look at verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, Jews were required to go to Jerusalem for feasts a number of times a year. In verse number 2, now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market, literally the sheep gate, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. 38 years, okay? When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steps down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. And you know, if you read on in this account, we're going to stop at verse 9. But, okay, guess who got up in arms about it being the Sabbath? You know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees always had something to say about the Sabbath. And so it said that the Jews said to the one who was cured, because Jesus said, take up your bed and walk. In other words, pick it up and go. They get on him because it's unlawful to carry your bed on the Sabbath. They didn't even bother trying to come against the healing. They did that in other places. But here it was, hey, you're not supposed to be carrying that bed. Not to mention the guy had been in that condition for 38 years, impotent, couldn't move. They ignored the fact that God did a supernatural, powerful miracle in their midst and focused on him carrying that bed. They should have been elated that he carried that bed. They should have been just overjoyed that the man got healed after all those years in torment. But no, that legalistic devil that was on their shoulder and that they were listening to focused on the fact that he picked up the bed. I mean, when I looked at that and I saw that, it was like, my goodness sakes, these guys had some hard hearts. Amen? Some hard hearts. Is anybody cold in here tonight? Yeah, you, okay, where's my, Pastor John, where are you at? Pastor John, somebody, Jim, one of you, David, you guys, Jim, go up in the booth, get that one, and David, would you get that one, please? Bump him up a degree or two. I don't know where Pastor John disappeared to. He did, though, so anyway. I mentioned to you earlier that 1 John 4, verse number 4 said, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And I'm here to tell you tonight, I'm here to relay this to you from the throne. And this is something that you need to say amen to, but it is God's will for you to triumph over every adversity. Every adversity that comes your way, it's the Lord's will that you triumph over it. I don't care what it is. Can I hear an amen? Is it God's will to heal? You need to proclaim that. You need to declare it. You need to decree it. You need to be, that shouldn't be one of those situations where you have to think about that for a minute. Now, does God still heal today? Well, you know, this pastor said he doesn't, that passed away years ago. This one said sometimes God says no, even though the Bible says his promises in him are yes and amen. Okay? God said no. No, God didn't say no. The Lord never says no. But looky here, this particular incident, we'll go into some of the particulars here, but it was up to the individual, even in this situation, to receive. There are two things that never change. Write these down if you're taking notes, and don't forget them even if you're not taking notes. Do not forget this. There are two things that never change. Number one, God will not receive for you. Do you hear me? He will not receive for you. That never changes. He does not receive for you. And number two, he will never resist the devil for you. Okay? That's important that you remember that. Those are two things that responsibility is on you. To learn how to receive, and we found out that that word in the original language meant to take it. Believe that you take it. If you believe that you have taken what is yours, then you rejoice, even in the midst of seemingly a situation that's not turned around yet. Why can you rejoice and have joy in a situation, according to James chapter 1, is because the way you see it, God's coming through on your behalf. Even though it looks bad right now, he's coming through for you. But see, God will never receive for you. For you, you have to receive for yourself. Oh, God, just give it to me. Just take care of the situation. No, you've got to learn to receive. Did he receive Jesus for you? Who received Jesus in here? Okay, did the Lord God receive Jesus in his heart? Did God have to get saved? He doesn't receive for you. In the word, there are places where the miracles, and many of them that we've looked at, in fact, 90% of the miracles in the Gospels are faith-initiated. About 10% are spirit-initiated. Okay, and you say, well, now, wait a minute, has God received? No, no, no. This here was a special miracle, and what was taking place at the Pool of Bethesda was a special manifestation of the power of God. But the fact is, God doesn't receive for people. You have to learn to receive. And too much of the time, there are a lot of ministers that don't even know that. Now, they know that a person needs to receive Christ, but so many of them stop there and say, you know, healing isn't always for the Christian. The more I look into the word, and like I told you before, with his name being the God that heals, I was driving down the road one day and the Lord spoke to me. I was going to do a meeting. This was years ago before I was ever married. And the Lord said, and that was at the time when you would hear things about Sasquatch. Some of you still hear things about Sasquatch, right, Larry? Yeah, I know. So anyway, the Lord said it to me. I'd seen something on the television about Sasquatch, and the Lord said, I am not Jehovah Bigfoot. I thought, okay, well then, who are you? He said, I'm the God that heals. I'm not stepping on my people, causing sickness and pain and taking from them. No, no, no. He said, I'm the God that provides. I'm the God that heals. And you just had to be there in the car hearing the conversation, but it was a revelation to me that just expanded at that moment, okay? He is the God that heals. So the two things that never change, God won't receive for you. Number two, God won't resist the devil for you. this incident that we see here with the Hebrew place called Bethesda, having the five porches, let's just look at that for a minute. That was really a special manifestation of the Holy Spirit. The angel would come and trouble the waters, the scripture said. And what he did was he moved the waters, maybe put his wing in it. I don't know how he did it. Did he blow on it? I don't know. But this pool at this sheep gate, there's some history here that Bethesda is a Hebrew word that is made up of two words, Bayith, meaning the house, and the second half of it where you see Hesda, you see that? Bethesda or Bethesda, Bayith, Chesed is the other word. Chesed, the Hebrew equivalent to agape. We know what agape is, right? Agape is the God kind of love, right? Doesn't even bat an eyelash. Will always be there and always reach out. Holds no animosity. The God kind of love. Well, chesed is the Old Testament counterpart to the New Testament agape. Baith, or the house of chesed, the house of this flowing of mercy. This house where love flows in this pool. And so as I read that and I'm looking at that, it's like, my goodness sakes, the house of flowing water was another definition for Bethesda in the when you look in Strong's. The water was flowing when the angel would trouble it. The rest of the time, it was just a pool. Now, it was one of the commentaries said that this was a, in fact, the Amplified says there were alcoves and colonnades, covered areas where this water. See, the water was here, and then there were some covered areas around it, and there were perhaps hundreds of people gathered around, and they didn't know when the water would start to move, but if the water started to move and somebody wasn't in there playing games with them trying to make the water move, but suddenly it would start bubbling or flowing or moving around or splashing, somebody would shout out, "The water's moving!" And then the first person who jumped in would get healed. Supernatural, okay? The angel that was doing that, it was not on a certain schedule. Well, okay, tomorrow at 12:15, the water will be moving. Well, my goodness sakes. That's not how it happened. It was whoever was there, the first one who got in, when that happened and when it would happen, they didn't know. That's why people were gathered around the water. And it didn't really matter what kind of diseases that they had. The first one in got healed no matter what. Doesn't say anything about their faith. Doesn't say anything about, you know, by their faith it was being done to them. There was a supernatural manifestation, and the first person who got in would get healed. Now, Solomon, one of the commentaries said that Solomon built these porches, and that this was when the Babylonian captivity happened, when there was that attack. They did not destroy this portion. And then later on, it survived through King Agrippa that nobody would dare destroy this. And I thought, well, that's interesting. But it's an area that had covered like porches and colonnades. And it was a place where people would gather, okay? The rest of the time, it was just a pool. But boy, when it started moving, you talk about a whirlpool. You talk about in a hot tub, but you talk about living water. You know, when that angel would do whatever the angel did to it, and we'll talk about that in just a moment, of other incidents in the Word of God. Angels are mentioned hundreds of times in the Word, you know. God's angels and the devil and his angels, right? Yeah, yeah. But when that water started to move, and the Lord would know. I mean, if it was a tie, was there a tie? No, the Lord knows who got in the water first. And whoever touched the water first was healed instantly. Wonderful, wonderful manifestation. That's pretty cool. Angels, as I said, there are hundreds of references in the Word of God. What was an angel? The Greek word is angelos. Angelos. And they were messengers. Okay? A messenger. Now, they would give messages from the throne, from the Lord, and come and give a message, right? Come on, y'all with me, right? Okay, so it is getting warm now. Now we're getting warm, guys, so whatever. Now you're getting sleepy. We don't want that. Put the air conditioning in. So these angels were messengers, and they would give message from the Lord, but they would do more than that. They were sent on assignments to do certain things, and that was this angel's particular assignment, okay? You know, angels can bring the healing power of God. Amen. Angels that come from the presence of the Lord carry a residue of anointing. Well, let me just show you how this works. The morning my dad passed away, I had gone out to get the nurse, January 6th, 1988. I went to get the nurse. We had snow up to probably over my knee. It was deep and blowing. I had a four-wheel drive Jeep. I had to go out there and I had to try to shovel. There was a drift this high. Well, it wasn't off the floor that high, but okay, from the platform. It was about this high behind the Jeep up to the back window of the Jeep. And it was up off the ground, but I couldn't get out. You know, even with four-wheel drive, I had to dig a little bit and knock some of that down. Then finally, I was able to get out. But so I went, got the nurse, got back. And when I walked in the door of the house, you talk about a residue of anointing. You talk about a residue of a heavenly presence. Mom said, "He's gone. The angels, I'm telling you, just came and carried him into glory." The minute I walked in the door, I looked at her and I said, "He's not here, is he?" She said, "No." I said, "I can sense a heavenly presence." The nurse kind of ducked her head and went to the back real quick, you know. And I think she was a believer, but she wanted to check on my dad. And sure enough, he was already gone. There was a residue of the presence. The ones that carried my dad out of there, there was a residue of the presence of God. Now, I'll tell you something. That presence was real, and it gave me goosebumps when I walked in the door. Nobody told me my dad wasn't there. I could tell that there had been a heavenly visitation in that house. Angels can really bring and when they show up in a place, have a residual. It's like when somebody has on real heavy perfume or something. You know what I'm saying? You ever been around somebody that's got on a really smelly perfume or cologne? You're going, "You, Pastor Dan." No, mine. I only wear the good stuff. Okay, at least in my estimation. Okay. I've been around people, not in this church, but there was a woman that would wear that youth do. You know what youth do is? You go over to Belk, ladies. How many of y'all know what youth do is, ladies? You ever smell it? Go over and ask for Estee Lauder youth do and smell it. And you tell me if that isn't the most horrid smell. No offense, Estee, but that is horrid. Man, it might as well be stink bait, for crying out loud. I mean, that's just some bad stuff. Oh, now I'm sorry if you wear that, okay? Boy, you really opened yourself up to one there, Pastor Nick. Well, you know, that's one that gives me an instant, it'll give you a headache, man. No, it will not. So I'll get you a bottle of that for Christmas. No, if I do that, you'll be wearing it in here. You don't wear that. Woman, don't give me that noise. Anyway, angels, when they come on the scene, they leave it. There's a residual of when they are there, the anointing, that they come from the presence of God. You remember when Jesus was in the garden and praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, the place of the olive press, the place of pressing when he was being pressed so heavily, and he began to sweat droplets of blood. Do you remember that? And remember the Bible said an angel came and strengthened him? How did that angel strengthen the Lord Jesus Christ? Scripture indicates in the book of Hebrews and also in the book of Psalms that he said something to Jesus. He told Jesus something from the scriptures and reminded Jesus. Now, Jesus didn't forget, but he needed at that moment. He was under great duress. If you're ever under such duress that you're sweating blood, there's something wrong. I mean, you talk about some serious stress. I've been under a lot of stress before, but I've never sweated blood. And that angel came and strengthened him. And people read right over that and never even think about it. Angels, that when they come from the throne of God, oh my, mighty, powerful. Ron shared a testimony with us the other night when we were sitting at a restaurant. And he said, I was in Russia, Ukraine. I think it was Ukraine. Maybe it was, anyway, it was over there. And he said he was sleeping. He woke up in the middle of the night, and he sat up, and he looked, and there were two big angels at the foot of his bed. He said, I've never had an actual just open vision, but he said, these guys were like big. And, you know, and he said, the Lord spoke to him, said, these guys have been with you, these angels have, these messengers, I forget how he put it, have been with you the entire trip. And Ron said, I wasn't afraid. These were the biggest dudes. You weren't about to mess with them, okay? He said, and I just laid down. What? Oh, yeah, a sword, had a big sword. I thought that was pretty cool. Ron's not a flake. Y'all know that. He's not having, be careful. He's not having visions every week. Be careful of people that every time you see them, they have had another vision. Do you hear me? Why should we be careful of that? Because you don't find it in the Word of God that people were having visions all the time. Peter had a few visions, and that was the Apostle Peter. Paul had a vision. Various ones in the Word had visions, but they weren't having them every 5, 6, 7 days. Had a man one time years ago in the church. He comes to me, Pastor, I had a vision. And the first time I was like, okay. And so I listened to it, and it seemed to line up scripturally. But a few days later, I had a vision. And now I'm starting to, right away, I recognize the pattern. You know, I had a vision. I had a vision. And that man, in the time he was in the church, probably had 50 visions. It was sad because they weren't God. The devil was messing with him, and that story has a bad ending to it where he was concerned because the man took his own life. That was sad. The devil messed with him, and he wouldn't listen when I said, that's not God, you need to rebuke it. Oh, but it seems so supernatural. Let me tell you something. The devil is supernatural. He's a spirit, okay? In the Bible, you had the Pharisees and the Sadducees who would come against Jesus, and they did with this man that was healed right after this incident. And I mean, you can follow it down in the verses after, like verse 10 and following. The Pharisees believed in the resurrection. The Pharisees believed in spirits. The Pharisees believed in angels. The Sadducees, on the other hand, did not believe in any of those things. And so there was always something going on. The Pharisees would have been, it said the Jews in verse 10, you know, was it the Pharisees? Was it the scribes? It was somebody who knew the law and became legalistic about it. But anyway, let's go on with this quickly and talk about this manifestation that occurred. So the first one in would get their healing. Why was this done? Why did this happen that an angel would come and trouble the water? You know, I'll tell you, it's just pretty simple because God likes to do special things for his people from time to time. He does. Now, you say, well, can you give me a chapter and verse on that? Well, let's think about the signs and wonders that were not recorded in the Word of God. Write these down. John 20, verse number 30. There were a lot of other things Jesus did that the world couldn't hold all the volumes, the scripture said, if they were all written down of what Jesus had done, okay? Acts chapter 2, verse 43, and I'll read it to you quickly. Acts 2, verse 43, and it read this way. It said, and fear came upon every soul. These were concerning these works that had been done, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. They don't list them. They don't tell you what they were. Many wonders and signs. In Acts chapter 5, verse 12, what does it read? It reads this way. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Now hold it. Solomon's porch. Was that not right there? Come on. Solomon's porch. So this was going on. These things were happening and signs and wonders, and they weren't all recorded. So there were some supernatural things that were not recorded. What is a sign and a wonder? What is a sign? A sign gets your attention, right? How many of y'all driving down the road when you see a sign and it says 35 and you're going 55, it gets your attention, right? What do? You let off the gas, you hit the brakes and look around for the police. Right? I mean, that's true, you know. You ever get caught speeding down the road and you're just, you're going down the road. And all of a sudden you look up and there's a policeman there and you look up and you look at the speed limit sign. It catches your attention and then you look at your speedometer and they don't match. You do something about it right away. Signs get your attention. What does a wonder do? What does a wonder do? It makes you wonder. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it produces awe. Amen? Sure, it does. God's will is your health. God's will is your health. It has been his will from day one. He wants you whole. He wants you well. Okay? You need to approach your life that way. God wants me whole. Something's not right in your body. God wants that fixed. Now, you have a responsibility. You have a responsibility to learn how to receive. You have a responsibility to take care of the temple. You have too many Christians have bumped that responsibility off like, well, you know, God will just do it. No, he's not going to take care of your body for you either. That's another thing. You're going to have to take care of what you put in it. Because you make the choice. You're going to eat that big Long John. Or you're going to, you know, eat that fattening thing over here that you shouldn't eat. And do this and do that. I mean, we have choices. I know you hate to hear that practical stuff. Because it doesn't sound very spiritual. But, hey, your body is pretty natural. Have you noticed? Huh? And what you put in it matters. Well, I got my wife agreeing with me tonight. The rest of you guys, I guess we put you to sleep with the heat. I don't know, but anyway. In Acts 19, verse 11, the Bible said that special miracles were wrought at the hands of the Apostle Paul. You remember that? They took handkerchiefs, aprons off his body and placed them on sick people, and the sick people got healed. You know, in the Old Testament, you saw some contact and transmission when the man fell down into the grave and died and hit the prophet's bones and was raised up from the dead. You remember that? That happened. Sure. I mean, the power of God can reside in inanimate objects. Sure. That guy was dead. The bones, they were bones. It wasn't the flesh and bones. It was the bones of the prophet, and those bones had anointing in them enough that when somebody fell into that grave, they were raised up from the dead. That's some power, you guys. My goodness. So we'll close with this. In Acts 19, I believe it's the Amplified Classic Version reads, for special miracles, those were extraordinary or unusual or amazing. Maybe it was just the unusual, but the extraordinary and amazing were from other translations as well, or the meaning of the word special. Well, if there are unusual miracles that happened, what does that tell you? Just think about the other side of that. Then there were some usual miracles, right? There were unusual miracles like Acts chapter 5, Peter's walking down the street, and the Bible said that all the sick came out in the street, and Peter's walking down, and a shadow hits people. Now, it wasn't Peter's shadow that healed them. It was the power of God emanating from Peter. That anointing touched them, and people were just getting healed, and it was happening simultaneously, and a bunch of them got healed right there. That was a special thing, was it not? Sure it was. The Spirit of God was doing something unusual, something amazing. Now, people don't stop and think about the amazing miracles that happened in the Word of God. This thing in John 5 with the water being troubled, that was an unusual manifestation. You don't find that happening in every chapter. In fact, it's recorded one place in the Word of God, and you just read it. So understand that God has done special things. We didn't even get into the man's actual healing. Go ahead and stand to your feet. We didn't even get into that. But the fact is, there are times God does special things. But here's something to keep in mind about when the Lord does something special or unusual. It will never, and I underline never, it will never contradict the Word. He's not going to do something that is considered spectacular or unusual or amazing and have it contradict the Word. This healing with this angel. I mean, angels have been used in many, many ways, and that just happens to be one of them. And how many times the actual stirring of the water occurred, we're not really sure. But we do know that the first person in got healed anytime it did happen, okay? So, but just don't let that be an open door when you see a special manifestation or a special miracle or things happen that were not recorded to go crazy with it and take you right off the word of God and out of the character of God. There are people that think, I've had people tell me, the Lord told me to go and marry this person. Remember me telling you this stuff? And the problem was, he was married. This is another case. He was married. And this other one, she was married to somebody else. But the Lord said, you that are married to this one, you need to leave her and go marry this one who's married to that one. And she needs to leave him and you two need to. And you know what? That kind of crazy, stupid, sinful, carnal, off the word of God stuff needs to be checked right away. That is stupidity gone to seed, man. I mean, like at its full growth, you know. And then the one in Bible school, we had a girl in Bible school who did that. She was all crying because the man that she was running after, she found out he was married, but the Lord told her. When he decided to go back to his wife and stay with his wife and repent and make it right, she's in school that day, and I overheard it, crying because the man left. I looked at her when she asked me what I thought. Well, you can just imagine what I said. I gave her the truth. I tried to be nice. Key word is try. I did try. So she never came near me again that whole year. So. You know what? I don't care. I don't care. I'm going to tell you the truth, man. I'm going to tell you the truth whether you like it or not. Oh, thank you, Pastor Dan. You guys, come on, wake up now. Say yes, that's a good word. Amen? Yeah, amen. Amen. More ministers today need to be that forthright in it. No cut corners and play around. I saw a guy playing around, and because the guy had some money in the church, not this church, another church, he was allowed the opportunity to go and pray with this person in the church who she was married, he was married, and they were getting together to pray in the Holy Spirit and pray in tongues. And before long, they were doing more than praying. And before long, there were two divorces in that church. That's wrong. And anybody with half a brain would have stopped that. Half a moral. What's half a moral? Do I have any cards? No cards? Come on, let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight and praise you tonight that you are a God who does unusual things. Yes, we thank you for those unusual things. We thank you that your power is not limited, Father, in the word. The only ones that ever limit your power are your kids. And we don't want to limit your power. We want to receive what you have for us. So I thank you tonight for unusual, amazing, just supernatural moves of your spirit in the lives of your people. Now, it may not be a healing that they need. It may be something else that they have need of. I thank you for intervening in your kids' lives as they look to you and trust you that you get right in the middle of the situation. We give you that, Lord God, that freedom, that liberty to do what you want to do in us. And Father, if it is a healing, we'll receive that healing, that health, that well-being in our bodies and not bat an eyelash at your will being that you want us whole. So we thank you for it. And we praise you and bless you for that tonight. In the name, come on, in the name of Jesus, we pray. If y'all can agree, say amen.